The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, all of the unusual events from the past couple of weeks, they culminate in this very day, January the 20th, Inauguration Day here in the United States. Joe Biden is in Washington, D.C., and President Trump, he's about to make an appearance at Andrews Air Force Base before Air Force One flies him down to his home in Florida, and we're going to keep an eye on that live feed and see if we can do something a little bit unusual on today's program. We don't usually cut away to a live stream, but I understand his remarks are not going to be that long. So if it happens right here within our hour of live broadcasting, we'll try to bring you those remarks from Right Side Broadcasting online. If all goes well, as you know, we no longer can broadcast, or at least we can't broadcast this week on YouTube. YouTube, by the way, underneath the Right Side Broadcasting, I think I wrote it down here, they have a notice underneath this live feed. This is President Trump, his final remarks. And the notice says, the Electoral College has confirmed Joe Biden as president-elect. So there's YouTube making sure the audience knows that Joe Biden won. Right under that, it says, states certify results after ensuring ballots are properly counted and correcting irregularities and errors. And then it has a little link to learn more. You can understand more about how states make it official. Now, if you want to hear from the Trumpet Daily, they're banned for the week. You can't hear from them. And so our listeners have had to go over to our website, thetrumpet.com, thetrumpet.com/live. That's where hundreds of our listeners have been flocking to over the last few days. And it'll be that way at least for the rest of this week. Hopefully we'll have the YouTube channel back up and running next week. We'll see. Just a couple of emails that I want to start today's program with. One talking about the guys that have worked hard to give our audience other options. It says, I just watched the replay of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on thetrumpet.com/live for the first time, and I was blown away. Almost every functionality of YouTube is now available on replay. I'm not sure what's missing on the live broadcast, but just having the replay capability more than makes up for it. I'd like to say thank you very much to you and your staff, along with Patrick Hogan and probably others, for getting the replay of the live stream up and running with so many features so quickly. What a Herculean effort that must have been. Please keep up the magnificent work of getting God's truth to the world. And it is a weighty responsibility that goes far beyond just one voice behind a microphone. There's a lot of people contributing, whether it's the website or the programs that are produced, the Key of David, this radio show, other radio shows, that the magazine that comes out each week, and the booklets that seem to come out every month almost, or every few months. It is a magnificent work. It's God's work. And this is uppermost in God's mind. This is the most important activity on earth, God's work. One more email. It says, I just sent a note of gratitude to Joel Hilliker for his inspiring trumpet brief this evening, and feel compelled to thank you as well for your boldness. It's sobering to know that we are in the outer edges of Amos 7 and verse 10. If we have time, we'll talk more about that prophecy in Amos 7. And he writes here, this moment came rather suddenly. However, it's more exciting to realize than man's rule, or rather that man's rule over man is about to expire, and that we can expect to see many mind-bending miracles from our loving Father for those who love him. It says, may he gird the loins of your mind to continue preaching boldly, to continue preaching God's prophecies, God's truth, the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. And if you think about what he alludes to there, forget about the miracles that we expect today or in the next several days or the coming weeks. Think about the miracle of God sending his family to a place of protection of this earth, swallowing up an army. These are the kinds of parting of the Red Sea miracles that we're going to have to expect. And we can't, as it says in Romans 4, we can't stagger at the promises of God. We just want to believe, to just trust God, to just know that God will take care of his work, he'll take care of his people, and God's prophecies are sure. They are sure. Yesterday, President Trump gave his farewell address, and given the 4 years of nonstop attacks, it's amazing how positive and optimistic that address was. It was pre-recorded. It was played in the afternoon. I think it was about 20 minutes. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, none of them played it. At least not when it was released. I guess they came back later and played clips. But none of them played the speech. As I said the other day, it's as if the President of the United States, in his final days as president, leaving aside the prophecy for a moment of Amos 7, but it's as if he doesn't exist. Judging by the coverage at Fox News, their ratings, of course, are just absolutely crashing to the ground. But it's as if he does not exist. Here's one clip from his farewell address yesterday, clip one.
Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day.
So there he is, echoing some comments that he made, I think, about a week ago, that his movement, or the movement that he and his supporters started, it's only just the beginning. And yet you have a virtual media blackout of this president. There was an analyst on Politico that said, it can't be said enough. We toppled a dictator. This is the way the media views this. They don't know much about their history. They don't know much about the history of dictators, evidently. If he were a dictator, does he just ride off into the... Does he head down to Florida this morning? He is abandoned. He is alone. There's no doubt everyone even close to him, so many of them have turned on him. But he's certainly not a dictator. Jim Acosta at CNN said he's almost leaving like an autocrat, ousted from power, heading off into exile. That's CNN. This is CNN, the airport news network. Greg Kelly over at Newsmax. Newsmax was one of the few exceptions. I suppose OAN probably carried it live as well. But Newsmax carried it live. And then when Greg Kelly got to his show last evening, he replayed it in its entirety. Here's how he set it up, clip two.
Late this afternoon, President Trump gave his official farewell address. I'm not happy about this. I know you're not happy about this, because we're not giving up on him. We are very, very grateful for what he did. You know, so many in the conservative media and people who we probably thought were his friends have deserted him, have left him. We have not, and I know you have not, 75 million people across this country. Usually I start this show with a whole lot to say. Not tonight. We are playing for you his entire farewell address. Incredibly, even Fox News would not air this, only Newsmax, from its start to finish.
That's Greg Kelly last night on his program, playing the entirety of the president's address from start to finish. And he mentions Fox News there. Even Fox News wouldn't play it. There was a story in the stack of news this morning suggesting that Fox News may be considering a shift back to the right. As you know, they were all in with do anything to get President Trump out of office leading up to the November 3rd election. But they've seen their ratings plummet, and now they're thinking, well, we're going to shuffle things around even in prime time and maybe get some more conservative voices back in there so that our ratings might go back up. It says something about, again, you look at what you see on video, you look at the number of people watching this on Right Side Broadcasting, the Trump, President Trump's remarks this morning, it's up to about 200,000 right now. You see how many people come out to his rallies. You see how the ratings just absolutely crash when Fox News joins in with CNN. And you know that, as the president suggested yesterday, the movement is strong. The movement is still there. How God works these exciting and dramatic events out, well, that's up to him. I mean, it's his prophecy. It's God's prophecy. It's not the prophecy of Gerald Fleury, Amos 7. God's the one that inspired it. God's the one that recorded it. It says the land won't be able to bear the words of God's servant. That hasn't yet happened, although, as the one viewer pointed out, we're on the outer edges of it. And then you have the confrontation there between God's servant and that evil priest. That hasn't yet happened. So how is it going to happen? How is it going to unfold? Well, God knows. God knows. Yesterday, I went through this example in Mark 5, where Jesus came. It was very similar to what happened there with Lazarus in John 11. And this 12-year-old girl died, and all of the family and friends, they were just wailing and moaning, just totally up in arms over this tragic, tragic event. And then Christ shows up. And of course, in that case, the case of that 12-year-old girl, and in the case of Lazarus, everybody there thought that he was too late. They thought that Jesus Christ was too late. It was too late for him to do anything. It was too late for him to intervene. And you know what? God is never late. He is right on time. He's always on time, exactly on time. And we can use a lot of mental energy to try to draw up all of these possibilities or probabilities. But in the end, what God wants us to do is just simply rest in faith, to carry on with relaxed faith, and to trust him. If there's more that we need to understand about certain prophecies, well, God adds that to our understanding as he sees fit. But the prophecy is the prophecy. It's God's prophecy. It's what God says. That's what we're here to hold up in front of you, to show you what your Bible says. So here is the president. Here we are on January 20th. Here we are on Inauguration Day, and just think about the events again. January 6th, God could have intervened there too, and he probably did intervene in certain ways that we know not of. But it could have gone a different way, that protest that turned violent. And you know about all the other layers of that story. Antifa's infiltration, the fact that it was planned ahead of time, and so on. And you know all about this demonic spirit that's been trying to destroy Donald Trump and his administration from the beginning. And there's no let up. They haven't stopped. The attacks continue. They will continue if President Trump spends a certain amount of time in Florida. They'll continue to go after him. They want to destroy him. They want his political career over. They don't want to ever see him in the arena of politics again. Listen to Chuck Schumer. He's about to be the majority leader in the Senate. Here's what he said yesterday, clip three.
Even now, he has not accepted responsibility for what he has done and still falsely maintains that the election was stolen. Once he leaves office, do we really expect him to change his tune and accept the truth? Of course not. He will continue spreading lies about the election and stoking the grievances of his most radical supporters, using the prospect of a future presidential run to poison the public arena at a time when we must get so much done. After what he has done, the consequences of which we were all witness to, Donald Trump should not be eligible to run for office ever again. All of us want to put this awful chapter in our nation's history behind us. But healing and unity will only come if there is truth and accountability, not sweeping such a severe charge, such awful actions under the rug. So let me be clear. There will be an impeachment trial in the United States Senate. There will be a vote on convicting the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And if the president is convicted, there will be a vote on barring him from running again.
That's Chuck Schumer making it up as he goes. Donald Trump out of office, even as a former president, they're trying to push through some kind of nonsense. You talk about unconstitutional. Anything and everything they can do to keep him from even running again. Never mind the Constitution, and certainly never mind even the American people. Hey, what's to worry about? Put it, if he is so awful, as if he's as bad as you're describing, then you should want him to run for office, because the American people would say, no way, we don't want him in there again. He was horrible for the country. Well, they're going to these extreme measures, as you know, because they know how popular he is. They know he has a majority support. Oh, you read between the lines of statements like what you just heard there, and what you're hearing is that we know that he won on November 3rd. We know that he won by a landslide. We know that he has the support of a majority of the American people. And so we're looking at every possible option that we can find to destroy him so that he can't run again. That's the message coming through loud and clear. That's the message. If you read between the lines, here is a president in so many ways standing alone. And yet, looking across the fruited plain of the United States of America, tens of millions of supporters, 75, 80, 85 million. Mitch McConnell, he's the outgoing leader in the Senate. And listen to what he said yesterday about the Capitol Hill riot, clip four.
The last time the Senate convened, we had just reclaimed the Capitol from violent criminals who tried to stop Congress from doing our duty. The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
That's McConnell's take on what happened January 6th. The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president. And here, the intelligence community, the FBI now, and even the major media, even the propaganda media, have come out and admitted that this was pre-planned, that this was planned. And we don't know all of the agents involved in the planning, but it was coordinated, an attack on the Capitol as early as January the 1st. Here's John Solomon with his report last night, clip nine.
There were detailed planning going back to January 1st, 6 days before the riots began, to carry out this violence. That is the FBI's now theory of the case in bringing these conspiracy charges. Why is that important? Well, we just heard Mitch McConnell a few hours ago say, well, the president incited this mob. It turns out that this attack was underway and being planned long before the president gave his speech. And I think even the Washington Post begrudgingly acknowledged that the planning for this today, for the first time, begrudgingly acknowledged the planning for this was long before the president's speech. That's why this impeachment was, when it was rushed as such, left out so much important fact gathering. And we're now just beginning to get the outlines of what appears to be a pretty well-formed prior plot to attack the Capitol.
A prior plot to attack the Capitol, we now know. But he's already been impeached. And they're going to carry on with what Chuck Schumer hopes will be a conviction and some kind of new constitutional wrinkle that they can, put in that bars the president from ever running for office again. What does the prophecy in 2 Kings 14 say? He has no help. He's virtually alone. And the affliction is bitter. The affliction is bitter. My father made a comment recently that Antiochus movement, the administration before the prophesied Jeroboam administration, that it never goes away. And you certainly see the spirit of that administration. It is strong in Washington, D.C., in America Under Attack. Remember the section my father wrote about the media swooning, just swooning before Barack Obama. He could do no wrong. He could trample all over the Constitution. He could do whatever he wanted. And the media would worship him. And that same spirit has returned now that the Joe Obama administration is this close, right on the cusp of victory, this close to stealing the election. Listen to what a commentator at CNN had to say yesterday about Joe Biden, clip 5.
And the contrast on display tonight was so stark. I mean, those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool, it's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. It was a moment where the new president came to town and sort of convened the country in this moment of remembrance, outstretching his arms. And contrast that with that video you just saw of a disgraced president on his way out at his lowest point.
That's CNN yesterday talking about the lights and the flags there at the Capitol Hill Mall. That's who Joe Biden's going to be speaking to today, a sea of flags. What an unusual inauguration. We have never seen anything like this. Washington, D.C., an armed camp, 30,000 troops to protect Joe Biden. Well, he was speaking in Delaware yesterday when he gave his farewell address in Delaware. And there, so far as I could tell, there was no armed camp there. So I guess it's just D.C. Very strange indeed. More on the swooning. Here's MSNBC, some of its reporting yesterday, clip 6.
Thinking about all of those folks who, just for the moment, the nation shared their grief. Oh, what a first step. What a beautiful step. So I'm reminded of the psalmist. You know, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Maybe the death will speak to us now. Maybe they can rest now.
The preacher preaching on MSNBC, he went on to say this, clip 7.
It's easy for us to place all of the blame on Donald Trump. He makes it easy for us. You know, he does. But there were 74 plus million people who voted for him. Selfishness, greed, you know, they run rampant across the land. But, you know, there's something that President-elect Joe Biden said. To heal is to remember. To heal is to remember. So not only do we have to remember our dead, we have to remember what brought us to this moment. What got us here. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's not just him.
That's MSNBC, some of the coverage from yesterday. I mentioned the farewell address that Joe Biden gave to his hometown in Delaware, to his home state. He referenced a poet at one point and then got a little bit emotional as he talked about when he would die. kind of again, it made me think of the Joe Bama montage that we've played, and who's really going to be behind a Biden presidency. Here's Joe Biden yesterday in Delaware before he left for D.C. This is clip 8.
James Joyce was said to have told a friend that when it comes his time to pass, when he dies, he said, Dublin, Dublin will be written on my heart. Well, excuse the emotion, but when I die, Delaware will be written on my heart.
That's Joe Biden yesterday before he left for the inauguration day today in Washington, D.C. Well, it looks like from the live broadcast I'm viewing that Marine One has landed at Andrews Air Force Base. So we will we'll take this opportunity to take a break, and hopefully when we come back, you'll get to see some of the live feed of President Trump's parting remarks before he flies to Florida. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
Yep. Okay. All right, if you're just now joining us, welcome. We're moments away.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
So the president has yet to come out of the Marine One. He's still there, having landed at Andrews Air Force Base. Just to make one additional comment on the pre-planned attack, as John Solomon reported yesterday, the planning that went into that January 6th protest to infiltrate the protest and to attack Capitol Hill, as small as the attack might have been. And we've showed you the footage that, of course, the mainstream media will not show. But then we've also talked about the 25,000 troops and how that they're being vetted because of a possible insider attack. This was an AP article title recently. FBI vetting guard troops in D.C. amid fears of an insider attack. So there's nobody, unless there's some kind of, you know, violent thugs that somehow make their way through the soldiers today, nobody's coming to the inauguration. And then the soldiers that are on duty throughout the city, there's Democrats really calling into question their loyalty. They were so concerned about people for 4 years that might have been loyal to this president, President Trump. Now they're demanding absolute loyalty. And they're searching through Facebook pages of these military officials, making sure they're loyal to Biden. But when you think about that headline, consider this when you get just a little ways into the article itself. It says Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the Associated Press on Sunday that officials are conscious of the potential threat. And he warned commanders to be on the lookout for any problems within their ranks as the inauguration approaches. So there's an abundance of caution here. Any and everything that might be a security threat, they are looking into it. But this is what it says in the AP piece. So far, however, he and other leaders say they have seen no evidence of any threats, and officials said the vetting hadn't flagged any issues that they were aware of. Remember, no evidence. And the media has just been crying aloud. No evidence of voter fraud. So we've got to move on. We'll even delete your channel if you talk about it. Here there is no evidence whatsoever of anything dangerous. And yet, it's an armed camp. An armed camp. Well, the president looks like he's just gotten off of Marine One with his wife, Melania Trump. And so we'll take this opportunity. I'm not sure how long it takes for him to get up to the podium. And I do want to make sure I reserve some time for some concluding remarks. But we'll go ahead and cut away to the live stream at Right Side Broadcasting of President Trump and his wife and a crowd at Andrews Air Force Base.
All right. A few words from the president. First lady. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we love you. And I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. This has been an incredible 4 years. We've accomplished so much together. I want to thank all of my family and my friends and my staff and so many other people for being here. I want to thank you for your effort, your hard work. People have no idea how hard this family worked. They worked, and they worked for you. They could have had a much easier life, but they did a fantastic job. I just want to thank all of you, everyone. I want to thank Mark Meadows, who's here someplace right there. I want to thank Mark. But it's been something very special. We've accomplished a lot. Our First Lady has been a woman of great grace and beauty and dignity. And so popular with the people, so popular with the people. In fact, honey, would you like to say a few words, please?
Being your First Lady was my greatest honor. Thank you for your love and your support. You will be in my thoughts and prayers. God bless you all. God bless your families. And God bless this beautiful nation. Thank you.
What else has to be said, right? But what we've done, that's true, honey, great job. What we've done has been amazing by any standard. We rebuilt the United States military. We created a new force called Space Force. That in itself would be a major achievement for a regular administration. We were not a regular administration. We took care of the vets, 91% approval rating. They've never had that before. The vets have given us the VA. The vets have given us an approval rating like has never been before. We took care of our vets and our beautiful vets. They were very badly treated before we came along. And as you know, we
get them great service, and we pick up the bill, and they can go out and they can see a doctor if they have to wait long periods of time. We got it so that we can sadly get rid of people that don't treat our vets properly. We didn't have any of those rights before when I came on, so our vets are happy, our people are happy, our military is thrilled. We also got tax cuts, the largest tax cut and reform in the history of our country by far. I hope they don't raise your taxes. But if they do, I told you so. And if you look at the regulations, which I consider the regulation cuts to be maybe even more important, that's why we have such good and have had such good job numbers. The job numbers have been absolutely incredible. When we started, had we not been hit by the pandemic, we would have had numbers that would never have been seen. Already, our numbers are the best ever. If you look at what happened until February a year ago, our numbers were at a level that nobody had ever seen before. And even now, we really built it twice. We got hit. Nobody blames us for that. The whole world got hit, and then we built it again. And now the stock market is actually substantially higher than it was at its higher point prior to the pandemic. So it's really, you could say we built it twice. And you're going to see incredible numbers start coming in if everything is sort of left alone. Be careful. Very complex. Be careful. But you're going to see some incredible things happening. And remember us when you see these things happening, if you would. Remember us, because I'm looking at elements of our economy that are set to be a rocket ship up. It's a rocket ship up. We have the greatest country in the world. We have the greatest economy in the world. And as bad as the pandemic was, we were hit so hard, just like the entire world was hit so hard. Places that thought they got away with it, didn't get away with it. They're suffering right now. We did something that is really considered a medical miracle. They're calling it a miracle, and that was the vaccine. We got the vaccine developed in 9 months instead of 9 years or 5 years or 10 years or a long time. It was supposed to take a long time, many, many years to develop a vaccine. We have two out. We have another one coming almost immediately, and it really is a great achievement. So you should start to see really good numbers over the next few months. I think you're going to see those numbers really skyrocket downward. And I can only say this, we have worked hard. We've left it all, as the athletes would say, we've left it all in the field. We don't have to come and say, we'll never say in a month when we're sitting in Florida, we're not going to be looking at each other and saying, you know, if we only worked a little bit harder, you can't work harder. And we had a lot of obstacles, and we went through the obstacles, and we just got 75 million votes, and that's a record in the history of sitting presidents. That's an all-time record by a lot, by many millions in the history of sitting presidents. It's been really just an honor. One of the things we're very, very proud of is the selection of almost 300 federal judges and three great Supreme Court justices. That's a very big number. That's a record-setting number. And so we've done a lot, and there's still things to do. The first thing we have to do is pay our respects and our love to the incredible people and families who suffered so gravely from the China virus. It's a horrible thing that was put onto the world. We all know where it came from, but it's a horrible, horrible thing. So be very careful. Be very, very careful. But we want to pay great love to all of the people that have suffered, including families who have suffered so gravely. So with that, I just want to say you are amazing people. This is a great, great country. It is my greatest honor and privilege to have been your president. Thank you. I will always fight for you. I will be watching, I will be listening, and I will tell you that the future of this country has never been better. I wish the new administration great luck and great success. I think they'll have great success. They have the foundation to do something really spectacular. And again, we put it in a position like it's never been before, despite the worst plague to hit since, I guess you'd say, 1917, over 100 years ago. And despite that, the things that we've done have been just incredible. And I couldn't have done it without you. So just a goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. And again, I want to just in leaving, I want to thank our Vice President, Mike Pence, and Karen. I want to thank Congress because we really worked well with Congress, at least certain elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together. So have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Fits nicely into the back end of this program, the live feed from President Trump's concluding remarks at Andrews Air Force Base, referring there at the last to the miracle that's happened in the last few years, and then saying we will be back in some form. That's President Trump speaking before a large audience there at Andrews Air Force Base. As we near the end of this show, I just want to put your minds on the prophecies of God here again. Keep in mind that what we've been talking about for a number of years, this springs from the Word of God. This is God's truth. This is the sure word of God's prophecy. And I thought Mr. Hilliker, in his trumpet brief last night, he summarized these two prophecies in particular. He summarized them well when he said, at the beginning of the Trump administration, our editor-in-chief came to recognize that 2 Kings 14, verses 26 and 27, contained within the Bible's former prophets, was not only a historical account of the ancient Israelites, but a prophecy for their modern descendants. And then he quotes the verses, for the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them. He saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And then Joel Hilliker writes this, President Trump is a modern-day Jeroboam II, effectively preventing the very name of Israel, which Satan has been attacking for millennia, from being blotted out inside America and the other less powerful nations that also descended from Israel. He says, finally, Mr. Fleury put this together with the book of the prophet Amos, who took a message to the administration of King Jeroboam II. It says Amos 7 is not only history, but prophecy that a representative of God in the end time will deliver God's message to the modern Jeroboam. It says, based on his faith and belief in prophecies like these, and knowing that parts of these prophecies have yet to be fulfilled, Mr. Fleury has said consistently that Donald Trump must remain America's president. This, as I say, is God's prophecy, and how this works out, how this unfolds, it's up to God to bring this about. one thing that we can all safely say is that we are in the very last days. We've talked often about the Jeroboam end. And you know about so many other prophecies. If you've listened to this program or if you've read our material at the trumpet.com website, you know about the time of Jacob's trouble, as it says in Jeremiah 30. You know about the time of great tribulation, like this world has never seen, Matthew 24, 21 and 22, Daniel 12 and verse 1. These prophetic events are accelerating. And then you look at the events of the past 2.5 months, from November 3rd to this point, to this day, and all of the fraud and the deceit and the corruption and the evil and the exposure of that evil, and God pleading with our nations, God making one final pass in hopes that our people will repent, certainly spiritual Israel above all. So many Laodiceans that have drifted far from their God, that have forgotten these prophecies of God, that have turned to other gods, other idols. God's trying to get their attention. In the end, they're going to know there was a prophet among them. They're going to know that God's truth was being proclaimed. This is God's prophecy. It's not that prophecy of a human being or any man. It's what God says. In Romans 4, I've gone through this recently in my epistles class, but it speaks here about Abraham, the father of the faithful. It says in Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. This is referring to Abraham. Moffat says, for Abraham, when hope was gone, he hoped on in faith. He just kept believing. He just kept believing and trusting God. Abraham waited 24 years for God to follow through on his prophecy. The prophecy that Abraham and his wife would have a son, and that a multitude of nations would spring from that line. For 24 years, Abraham waited and trusted God. God sets the time that these prophecies will be fulfilled or that these prayers of ours will be answered. He sets the time, and it's an acceptable time, and he's never late. As I said earlier, God is always on time. He's the God who brought the world into existence. He's the God who created the universe, which works like a master clock. It's all on time. Verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 90. And yet they believed God. God said that she was going to have a child. And so she did. 24 years after the promise, when Sarah was 90 years of age. That's a miracle. That's a stunning turn of events. And it happened, some would say, it happened a little late. Why didn't it happen 2 or 3 years into it? Or 5 or 10 maybe? Why almost 25 years? Why almost a quarter of a century? Verse 20, it says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There's no reason why we shouldn't still be strong in faith. No matter what happens at noon today, Eastern time, there's still room for a lot of strong faith, a lot of relaxed faith. It's God's prophecy, after all. Let God work it out the way God sees fit. Verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was fully persuaded that God would follow through. He didn't stagger at the promise of God. He didn't stagger through unbelief. He was strong in faith. You can read through the first six verses, I should say, of Hebrews. Well, really, the entire chapter, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And see there that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see all the evidence, but you know a lot because of faith. Because of faith. Let me read to you what Mr. Armstrong wrote, Herbert Armstrong. He said this in The Plain Truth About Healing. He said, faith has only to do with God's word. See, what does God's word say? That's what we've been pointing you to for years, for decades, in fact. We've been around for 31 years. Look at the way that this work has grown. Look at the miracle that you see on this campus or in the publications and materials that we distribute all over the world. Just a small group of faithful people looking to God. It says, faith has only to do with God's word. The one question is, has God promised it in the Bible? If he has, then probabilities, possibilities, feelings, convictions, impressions have nothing whatsoever to do with it. God has 1,000 ways we know nothing of answering and providing whatever he has promised. He has 1,000 different ways to answer our requests, our prayers. He has 1,000 different ways to fulfill his prophecies. It says we don't need to see how he is going to do it or even when. We don't need to see how or when. And then notice this. This is Herbert Armstrong. And that's another thing. He almost never will do it the way we expect. So don't try to figure out how it is possible for God to do it. You are trusting supernatural power. How many of us in recent weeks or months or even in recent years have tried to figure it all out? Well, this is surely the way it's going to unfold. This is surely the way it's going to happen. What we're talking about here is trusting in supernatural power. It says God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. What he has promised, he will perform, but he will do it his way and in his time. Leave all that to him and just trust him. Leave all of it to God and just trust him. It says, rely upon his word. That's the example. That's the example that Abraham set for us. That's the example that Jesus set for us. He didn't show up too late after that 8-year-old, or rather 12-year-old girl died. He wasn't too late to intervene there in the life of Lazarus. He said in both cases, look, they're just sleeping. They're just sleeping for a while. And then he raised them from the dead. That's the kind of faith that God's people need in these trying times. Resurrection from the dead, faith. Faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith, the same faith that our father of the faithful had, that great patriarch, Abraham. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can send an email to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.